This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The next mayor of San Antonio will be navigating a volatile time in the federal government. Decisions on tariffs, immigration enforcement, federal workforce being cut, funding cuts could reverberate throughout San Antonio in profound ways. The next mayor of San Antonio will oversee a city that's often at odds with state lawmakers on policies. The next mayor will grapple with a host of pressing local issues, a potential new Spurs arena downtown, a broader Project Marvel, the city's plans for a sports and entertainment district, a need for more affordable housing, pressures that arise from gentrification, and ongoing community concerns about crime and basic infrastructure needs. We're now joined by the front runner in the race for San Antonio mayor, a front runner via the UTSA Center for Public Opinion Research survey, which found that Gina Ortiz Jones is leading the most recent polling that they've conducted in San Antonio among the 27 candidate race. Gina Ortiz Jones is a former undersecretary for the Air Force, and welcome to The Source.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
So tell us about yourself. Why did you decide to run for mayor?
Yeah, well, the short of it is I want to make sure my hometown is well led. I'm a proud first-generation American. My mom came to this country over 40 years ago. She graduated from the number one university in the Philippines. She came here as a domestic helper. That was the opportunity to pursue the American dream, and she jumped at it. She knew she came to this country even in that capacity. If she was willing to work hard, the sky's the limit. So that is the cloth that I am cut from. She raised me and my sister by herself. Special place in heaven for single moms, right? That place is probably open bar, as it should be. She also reminded my sister and I that we were very lucky, right? Not smart, lucky to have been born in this very special country, and we'd have to give back. It's why we have both served. I served in the Air Force in a number of ways, and my sister proudly serves in the Navy. I've been proud of my entire career in public service, and that career has shown me that true national security starts at home. It starts with smart, healthy kids. It starts with elected officials understanding to whom they're accountable. And it starts with much more transparency around how public dollars are spent in our community. I think my career has also shown you need a plan, right? So not only have I led as the undersecretary, the number two over the Department of the Air Force, managed $173 billion budget, led 600,000 folks. I have also, on my website, outlined the things that I want to work on in the first 100 days, because I think folks realize that even if we had a different president, different governor, some of the challenges, the most pressing challenges in our community would be the same. Right? Over half the kids in our community, grades 3 through 8, are not reading at level. Their math skills are not at level. We'd still have 95,000 families in our community that are housing insecure. Frankly, go to any part of town and we'd still be dealing with way too many delayed construction projects that are, frankly, a nuisance for the individual person, but also for small businesses, really, that are just trying to get by. So I've outlined the things I want to work on. First 100 days where we can bring down costs where we can, make smart investments where we must, and absolutely bring more transparency to some major potential developments.
All right, so we're going to hear some calls from our listeners. Our number is 833-877-8255. If you've got a question for Gina Ortiz Jones about her run for mayor, her vision for the city, let's go to Stephen. And Stephen, you're on the air.
Thank you. Gina Jones, could you help enlighten us on your views on how you would prepare linkages between the county and the city officials to help prepare some of the problems that we are facing in the future, such as homelessness health and job opportunities?
All right, Stephen, thank you for that.
Yeah, I was going to say, thank you, Stephen, for that really thoughtful question. And it's important all the time, but I think certainly as we are facing economic uncertainty and just in general uncertainty from the federal and from the state, at the state level, it's really important that we are being thoughtful about where we can be efficient, effective with our investments, both at the city level, at the county level. And also, I would argue, a really important partner in that are going to be our nonprofits that are oftentimes have the expertise, have the trust of those that are serving, and can be very helpful and helping us understand where we might have some blind spots. I think when it comes to working strongly with the county, one of the areas I'd want to do that is in particular in mental health. I hear a lot about some concerns about public health, in particular when you look at the information, disinformation, underinvestment from the federal level, as well as even ways in which the state government is unfortunately not working to collect the very information that we need to make smart investments, for example, on maternal mortality. So making sure that we are looking at how we can best collaborate in the public health space, mental health, behavioral health is a key opportunity to do so. When we also are looking at the challenge of our unhoused community, I think we've got to look as far left as we possibly can, ensuring that we're not prematurely evicting people. Again, the most affordable home that you can have is the one that you're in. So also ensuring that we are being thoughtful about investments in permanent supportive housing. I also took the time to sit down with Opportunity Home. They run our affordable housing program here in the city. Much of their funding is federal, but the things that would allow people to become self-sufficient could be thoughtful, city investments. Right. And I think these are the types of things you want a leader that can think again, not only in the near term, but also in the long term. I think it's also important, though, we don't rule out opportunities to collaborate with our state partners. San Antonio is the 21st largest manufacturing exporting region in the country. Right. Thank you, Toyota, JCB, et cetera. 5% of our workforce works in manufacturing. That's $3-4 billion just in payroll. So I would want to work with our partners, San Antonio Manufacturing Association, South Texas Business Partnership, Chambers, right? Everyone who's a good stakeholder in that. How do we go from 21 to 17 to 14 to 12? How are we intentional about that that plan and thus the development that needs to follow? Certainly that would require then partnership with TxDOT, right? As we look not only at north-south infrastructure, but also east-west infrastructure. And then yes, that would be an opportunity for us to collaborate with the state, right? The Texas Economic Development Fund Bank Fund, is that pot that they've got that helps bring businesses here to Texas. So we'd want to make sure that we were getting our piece of that to bring, manufacturing opportunities here. In the same breath, though, as a leader, I think it's really important we are thinking about economic development in the context of those things that are also constraining us. So I'd be very concerned. 2022 was the first year that we saw an increase in teenage pregnancy in our state in for the first time in 15 years. And who's driving that? Young Latinas. And so when we look at what is happening, and that's directly related to the abortion bans, right? And so now what we are also reading about, we're reading about OBGYNs. They don't want to train here. They don't want to come here. When we think of economic development, we can only grow as fast and as strong as we have the medical professionals in our community to do that. So again, as mayor, I'm going to be looking at strong partnerships, looking at ways where we can collaborate, but also being very clear about the ways either federal policies or state policies are constraining our ability to grow in a way that we need to here in Military City, USA.
So you brought up the Texas abortion ban and some of the impacts of that. The City Council here in San Antonio has passed a reproductive justice fund. Some of that money is going to be funding people who need abortions to go out of the state to get them where there is abortion freedom. Would you have voted for that?
Yes. That fund is $100,000. Our city's budget is $4 billion. That would be like if you had $4,000 and I asked for $1. So we could help rape and incest survivors get health care that is not available in our state. Okay. I am not going to be the one that is nickel and diming rape and incest survivors. This is, again, a place where this might be a nonpartisan race, but that does not mean no principles. Okay. And I would be very concerned with folks that have a tough issue with that, but have no problem writing, a potentially blank check for a to-be-determined project that has to-be-determined benefits for our community.
Like Project Marvel.
Correct. Yeah. So folks that, again, that are going to nickel and dime rape and incest survivors, that we would be, I'd be on a very different side of
that. Well, there are people who say it's not about the money, but it's about, is this the proper role for the local government to do?
Well, these same folks also had no problem with, for example, when the city subsidized $1.4 million, the direct flight to Frankfurt that all lasted all of less than 6 months, right? So if it's about resources, we can have a really thoughtful conversation about going through our budget with a fine-tooth comb, and I welcome doing that. But nickel and diming rape and incest survivors is not where I will be.
Well, talk more about that in public health. I mean, we're having cuts to the San Antonio City's mm-hmm. Metro Health Services. We're going to lose a vaccination program. How should the city respond?
I think it's really important that we are working in concert, as mentioned earlier, not only with our county, but that our federal delegation, as well as our state delegation, is speaking with one voice on the impact of these things. We as a community should be united in the consequences of measles in our community. Again, these are needless things. We're already so medically underserved and medically underinsured that it's important that, again, the federal and the state delegations were being very clear-eyed about the consequences and how we need to address these things. It's unfortunate that these are leadership decisions. We're seeing in real time every single day that leadership is going to make all the difference in the world when it comes to our economy, right? Whether or not somebody can rely on, what is in their retirement account, whether or not our partners and allies can trust our word on the international stage. And yes, absolutely, the future of our economy looks like here in San Antonio when we think about the direct impact on tariffs in our community. Again, much of this needless. And what's why I think you'd want a mayor, given my leadership experience, again, manage $173 billion budget, led 600,000 folks, and can make the connections between what's happening
so
locally.
So we're going to break right now, but yes or no, should the city hall make up the funding that is lost for a vaccination program in San Antonio?
We'd have to look at where it's going to come from, but my inclination would be what public health has a high priority, and I would argue we'd have to look at what is that, at what expense, but we'd
okay.
All right. Say yes.
All right, we're going to take a break here, and we're going to be right back. Daniel, Melly, and Lewis can get you on the air when we come back from the break. Stay with us.
Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio is Gina Ortiz Jones, former Undersecretary for the Air Force, and she is a candidate for San Antonio Mayor. We invite your questions, 833-877-8255, and let's go to Daniel. And Daniel, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Ms. Jones. I appreciate everything you've said thus far. And certainly respect you for serving the country. Thank you for your courage. But my question, as a native San Antonian, I was in my 60s, and I live in the inner city in Los Angeles Heights, Keystone, another negated inner city neighborhood. We hear all of this talk, and with all due respect, Americans don't bother to vote so much because they feel that their promises are not kept. And things don't get done, or they get done too slowly. And those of us in the inner city know this. Inside Loop 410, they're talking about cuts to this and that. We've had cuts for generations. It's nothing new to us. We just call it something else. It usually translates into poverty, discrimination, or whatever. But my question is, I live in District 1, and we call ourselves the district that is taxation without representation. Because not since Mr. Trevino have we had anybody do anything for us. And it's really bad. And my question is, we put all our trust in candidates, and we get disappointed immensely. And my question to you is, you sound great. And I'm you have to trust people, somebody, and I want to support you. But how do I know you won't become mayor and forget about us and double down on the negation and everything? Because the big corporations and the hotels right. Downtown get all kinds of stuff, and we don't.
All right, Daniel, thank you for your question. So, Gina Ortiz-Jones.
Yeah, Daniel, thank you for being engaged. Thank you for asking the very thoughtful question. Look, I'm with you. I'm very, optimistic about where our city is going and can go. But again, leadership really sets the tone and makes sure that, promises made are promises that are kept, which is why, I've been very clear about making sure that we ask the really tough questions about this potential generational investment, that being Project Marvel, and thinking about it and how we might be able to address our generational challenges, inequities, right? Because to your point, people remember the promise around using public dollars for the Alamo Dome. I think it was Mayor Cisneros that made was talking about it at the time, that let's use public dollars to build the Alamo Dome. That'll make us successful for an NFL team. The Brahmas are cool. That is not an NFL team. Same line of thinking with Nelson Wolf when he was the judge, and he has shared that the deal that was negotiated there for public dollars in exchange for building the AT&T Center was a return of 20% of the Spurs' profits every year to the people. He said, "Ask me how much we got over 20 years," and a big fat zero. So I think it's really important that we ask the tough questions. We think about, again, this potential opportunity in the context of our generational challenges. You're right, our early education program, pre-K for SA. We've got, as mentioned earlier, large affordable housing opportunities, infrastructure needs, et cetera. So I think it's important that we have public leaders, not only with experience, which I bring, but also, to your point, courage, ask the tough questions, and then most importantly, deliver the results.
Let's go to another caller, Melly. And Melly, you're on the air.
Thank you. Ms. Ortiz-Jones, thank you for your time and taking my question. It's a real quick one. I just wanted to know, public voter records appear to show that you did not vote in 2023 San Antonio municipal election for mayor. And so can you clarify whether you voted in that election? And if not, how do you explain your absence from the local electoral process to voters now being asked to support your candidacy for the same office?
All right. Thank you for the call, Melly. And Gina Ortiz-Jones.
Yeah, I had a family trip scheduled during that time. And unfortunately, my mail-in ballot, when I had it mailed to the residence where I was, did not arrive in time.
Okay. All right. Another caller. Let's go to Lewis. And Lewis, you're on the air.
Yes. I just wanted to ask her a few things. Listening to her, it sounds like she comes with a national agenda. She's made comments like we need to have a trust for the world. We're talking about a mayor's race in San Antonio. The thing about the $1.5 million that was spent on the flight to Frankfurt, that comes from a lack of leadership looking forward. If it doesn't work, what do we do? What do we expect? What does the city get in return? And so that leads us to Project Marble. If this new ownership group that owns the Spurs decides to move them before the project is paid off for, then the city of San Antonio is stuck with that bill. So as a leader, would you push for an agreement for the leadership of the ownership of the Spurs to keep it here until it's paid off? Or if they want to move the team, that they will absorb the cost of the new stadium?
Okay. All right, Lewis, thank you for that. A lot in that question. So what about the Spurs issue? I mean, what do you think?
Well, I think this is the time where we have to really dig into the details. Again, the history has shown that if we don't ask those questions and get some firm commitments, that those promises may not get kept. I just, attended the town hall, the second town hall that Tommy Calvert had, where you had some folks from the community that were, rightly pissed off, I think is the scientific term, about all the economic development that they thought they would see that unfortunately never came. Right. So I think it's really important if we move forward with this that we have some firm commitments. And again, those commitments should be focused on addressing our generational inequities.
And we have Erica on the phones. And Erica, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. My name is Erica, and I was just trying to clarify Ms. Jones's comments as far as her response to housing policy she would have us go left, as far left as left can be in relation to evictions.
Okay. All right. So can you want to clarify that, Gina?
About the unhoused, it's really important that people are not being prematurely evicted from their homes. And again, we've got laws in place and due process important. So I want to make sure that we are adhering to that. There's lots of data shows that if somebody has counsel as part of that process, the likelihood of them being evicted from their home decreases significantly. And again, it's just about following the rules that we have in line and making sure that people aren't being needlessly evicted.
So in running a city like San Antonio, you have to weigh needs mm-hmm. and figure out, you know, what are the priorities and who gets the benefit of the mm-hmm. doubt frequently. And so we have the needs of taxpayers mm-hmm. and the needs of small businesses, mm-hmm. but also we have the needs of communities that are in distress and are vulnerable populations. And the job seems to be trying to figure out a way to try to keep everyone happy. Yeah. So how do you do that?
I would argue that the job is really about delivering results, right? And making sure that we're making progress on the things that people say are most important to them. So, for example, public safety. I hear a lot about, you know, whether it be about, again, just making sure that we have, you know, sufficient officers in place, we've got sufficient fire and EMS personnel. And I think I take a unique view at this, one, as a veteran, but then also having led a large organization where you were responsible for many, many units. And it's really not just operational units. And so it's not just about do we have enough. It's, hey, do these folks have the adequate training? Do they have, are they actually ready to do the thing that we need them to do? And I think that's really important. I think when we are looking, unfortunately, at Los Angeles that have, you know, made some assumptions about first responders' ability and capacity to respond in emergencies. So I would take a really hard look, making sure that the investments that we are making there are adequate, where might be able to make some even smarter investments to ensure that capability is what it needs to be. I think long term, though, right, I think we can never forget that we're Military City USA. And that's not just because today we have a large military presence. An important part of that is that Bexar County sends actually a high percentage of folks to serve in the military. And having seen this as the undersecretary, you know, the vast majority of folks that serve in the military come from a handful of counties, like 30 counties. And that's because the number one indicator of whether somebody will serve is if they know somebody who has served. And so that's why Bexar County is so important. And so if Bexar County and San Antonio, if we're not producing enough healthy kids, enough academically prepared kids, it is in fact a national security issue just because of how much we contribute to the pipeline. So I think it is important that we're making these investments not only today, but also with the future in mind. Because I would argue if you may not be healthy enough or academically prepared enough to serve in the military, you might not be academically prepared or healthy enough for the economic opportunities in our community, which is why on that first 100 days, one of the things I want to get a better understanding of is, one, how many kids, right? How much talent are we leaving on the table as a result of not fully meeting the need for pre-K for SA in our community? What's the number? And then two, what's the bill, right? I think this is a bill that we can't afford to not pay in our community when you think about the economic segregation, the long-term inequities, and the state of public education in our state. I can't tell Northside ISD what to do or Harlandale ISD what to do, but I think as a community, we can commit to give them the best possible product because we know that is where you have the highest rate of return, right? If you don't have enough pre-K for SA, that's when you need, you know, ready to work. If we had more pre-K for SA, I think we wouldn't need so much ready to work, the ready to work program. So again, it's being thoughtful about where we can really make smart investments for the long term, and that's what I would do.
I've got about maybe 30 seconds left. I want to ask you, what do you see as the greatest long-term challenge facing San Antonio?
Addressing the inequities in our community when it comes to education, certainly public health. Again, somebody living on the south side has a significantly shorter lifespan than somebody on the north side. And that just comes down to access to opportunities, health care. But really, again, if we can make those foundational investments in our young children, that will really set our community up for success.
Gina Ortiz-Jones is the former Undersecretary for the Air Force, and she is the front runner in the race for San Antonio mayor, according to the UTSA Center for Public Opinion Research poll. The early voting begins on April 22nd, runs through April 29th for the May 3rd election. And thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate you coming on and answering the questions from the callers.
Thank you.
And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp carrier dedicated to handling claims proactively and a commitment to helping injured employees and workers' comp policyholders get back to business. TexasMutual.com/claims.